Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the familiar formula that Christians have used for centuries to pray. And certainly, Jesus never intended it to become what it has become in many circles, is basically, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Where it becomes, basically you're uttering the same sounds over and over again. The same words just become sounds that you make with your mouth, and it's part of a chant. And they say it all together. All together now. But what he meant is that this would become the blueprint on which our prayers would be based. He certainly told us to pray this way. And I do pray this way. It's perfectly fine to put your own spin on it. As far as put it in your own words. The same ideas, though. These are the ideas we ought to pray about. These are the things we ought to be most concerned about. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. What does hallowed mean? It means something to be sanctified. What does sanctified mean? That's not a word we use much. Hey, hand me that sanctified fork. You know, it just doesn't have any meaning in our modern vernacular. It means for something to be special and separated for a particular purpose. That the name of God would not be something common, something used for any old thing, but for a very narrow and specific purpose. God's name should be hallowed, set apart, special, considered holy, considered above other things and separate from them. We want God's name to be hallowed. And what is God's name? What is the name of the Father? You know, people argue about this. Yahweh, or Jehovah, or so on and so forth. I pray in the name of the Son of God. Ask it in my name. So when I begin praying, I ask, Dear Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus we pray, hallowed be thy name. And unfortunately, Jesus' name is not hallowed, is it? It is not hallowed. Though God has given him a name which is above every name, the ways in which it has become special is it's become a special way of cursing. It's become a special term of derision, despite the prayers of thousands of years. Well, one thing I know is that God is just, and though his judgment does not come immediately, he is patient and long-suffering. You're talking about someone who has existed eternally. Therefore, a few thousand years of waiting, to him, is nothing more than the time you would take to scratch behind your ear. And so God's patience, from our perspective, is ridiculously long. And so he puts up with things that are not as he would have them be. But for a special purpose, they are as he would have them be. That's an odd thing. That God loves righteousness, but he created sin and caused sin to come into the world. Not directly, but indirectly. He created all the circumstances for it and made it possible. I mean, God didn't actually make man sin. He just put man in a tempting situation and made man temptable. And then allowed the serpent to tempt man, because God doesn't do tempting. But certainly in God's will, he allows for evil. He allows his name to be trodden underfoot. He allows all kinds of things because he has the end in mind. He subjects the world unto vanity in hope. And that hope is the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's really what the coming of God's kingdom signifies. It is the manifestation of God's Son. The Son of God returns, and those who are his will be raised from the dead. And those who are his who are alive are going to be changed to be like him. As it is said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him. We are praying for the kingdom to come. God's will must be done. Whether it be for good or ill, we know that all things work together for good, for them that love God, for them that are called according to his purpose. He causes circumstances, whatever they may be, though at times they can seem terrible. I know, because I've gone through things that seemed, at the time, horrible. And I felt like, God, don't you care? Don't you see that my ship is sinking? But through that, in his patience, he brought me through and had mercy on me in my unbelief, as he did on his disciples. Look, they were right there with the Lord, and they doubted. And sometimes we doubt. It's because we don't have him right here with us. And it's harder to have faith now than it was when Jesus was here. But not if God would just grant us the gift of faith that we could believe. Because that's the thing, is like when he opens our eyes to things, our faith becomes greater. And we begin to see as we ought to see. And we begin to know his will as we ought to know it. And to believe it. And so we can pray in faith, thy will be done. Not because, you know, you say, God, I want to have patience. And he brings in circumstances that really push your patience to the limit and even break it. And you think, well, that was a failure. But you really got stronger and you didn't see it. As long as in the end you're holding on. You know, like if you have a problem with forgiveness, sometimes God will bring something on that's unforgivable. And when you refuse to forgive, but then finally you relent and you forgive. That's worked something good in you. It's worked a change in your heart. God is very much concerned with the ends of things. How they end up. Not that the ends justify the means, but God is just in all his ways. In heaven where God is, his will is done. But on earth, it doesn't always seem like his will is done. Like you look at the crucifixion of Christ. That's an excellent example. That was God's will being done. But on the other hand, is that what's best for man? Is that what's good for man? The man should put to death the Savior of the world? Ultimately, it is. But for those, you know, it is impossible, but the offenses shall come, because that's the way the world is set up. But woe to them by whom they come. That's the thing. Woe to you who do these things. Woe to you, because God has appointed you something, judgment, wrath, and to others, mercy.